Amen. Uzziah was the 11th king of the southern kingdom. Well, we could say 11th ruler because there was a queen in Judah, Athaliah, who reigned for a little season, but he was the 11th monarch, if we could put it like that. And he was of the southern kingdom of Judah. During our study in the Minor Prophets, we outlined to you the difference between the northern kingdom of Israel, Ephraim or Samaria, and the southern kingdom known as Judah. And he was one of those good kings, one of those godly kings, just like his father, Amaziah. Uzziah was a godly king. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He came to the throne whenever he was 16 years of age. We have that in the reading, verses 1 and verse 3. And he had a very lengthy and prosperous reign as king over the people of God. In fact, his was one of the longest reigns of all the kings of Israel and of Judah. Manasseh, he was a wicked king, a wicked despot. Only God saved him. We wouldn't have known that he was saved except we read about that in the Old Testament. But we hadn't a record of him being taken among the thorns and repenting and returned to the land again. We would never have known that Manasseh would have been saved. We probably would have preached on the destruction of a privileged man and how Manasseh is now in hell. We'd be totally wrong because the Bible tells us God saved him. And yet he was a wicked king. He reigned for 55 years, the longest reign of the kings here in Israel. But the second longest was Uzziah. He reigned some 52 years. His reign was very mixed in the sense that he was a co-regent with his father, Amaziah. For 24 years, we don't know why, his father ruled along with his son. Generally, it is that the father passes away and then the firstborn takes up the role of king. But on this occasion, he was co-regent and he had a co-regency with his father, Amaziah. 24 years, both of them reigned. And you know the story of Uzziah because he ended up with leprosy. And then Jotham, his son, reigned for 10 years during the time of his leprosy. It leaves about 17 and a half, if we were to round it off. 18 years, really, he was sole monarch. Although he had a reign of 52, 24 were shared with his dad and 10 at least were shared with his son because he took leprosy because of his pride and the offering of the incense there in the temple, which he was not permitted to do, and in his rage against the priests and his rebellion against God and his heart lifted up with pride, he tried to be as God and tried to offer incense in the very temple. And those men came armed against the king and the highest authority in the land, the priests, and they came armed and to do battle and to put him out of the temple. And he was in a rage and leprosy came. And then his son Jotham came and reigned for 10 years during the time of his father's leprosy. He died whenever he was 68 years of age. If you study some of the kings in Israel and Judah, you will recognize that they did not have a very long life. Their lifespan was extremely short. Some died in their 30s, some in their 20s. Some only reigned about 3 months. Some were killed very young in life. Very few kings reigned, not 52 years. Some of them didn't even live 52 years. But this man was one of the oldest kings in that he reigned not only for 52 years, but he was 68 years of age whenever he died, and significantly longer than any other king in the Old Testament. There is a slight difficulty we have in Scripture because there are two names given to this man, and the critics and the higher critics, as they're called, those that study the Old Testament with a critical eye, and they say there's a discrepancy here, there's a contradiction there. They will point to this so-called discrepancy, and that is, they will say, well, one writer says his name is Azariah, and the other one says he's Uzziah. Now, which is it? Because both are different names and don't even come from the same root in the Hebrew. One means helped of the Lord, and that's Azariah. And Uzziah means strengthened by the Lord. Well, there's a very simple explanation. The 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 1 tells us his birth name. He was born Azariah. The father gave him, Amaziah gave him the name of one who will be helped by the Lord. His birth name was Azariah. And then when he came to the throne, his father changed his name. He was co-regent for 24 years with him. And his father changed his name and he became King Uzziah. And so there's no discrepancy whatsoever. In fact, the Bible paints a beautiful picture. At birth, this man was helped of the Lord up until he was 16 years of age. Then he took on great responsibility as king. And his father, remember, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he was a good man and he had a good reign. And his father changed his name to one who was strengthened by the Lord. So here's a man who needed strength to reign. And he was co-regent with his dad. And his dad wanted the Lord's hand upon him. And so at birth he named him one who will receive help from God. And when he took on the great responsibility, he changed his name deliberately. So that young man at 16, taking the reins of power, that young man would look to the Lord and depend on God and would be strengthened by the Lord. So that's how to clear up those so-called contradictions. And people say that's why the Bible, you can't believe it. That's why you can't trust the Word of God, because one writer says this and another says that. But when you see the explanation, you understand what was going on. That's exactly the reason why his name was changed. And what a great testimony it is. Because the child of God, no matter what we're doing, we don't have to be kings and we don't have to be monarchs. We don't have to be in the seat of authority or power in the church or in the land. But we do know this, we need help of God. And we need to be strengthened by the Lord in order for us to work for the Lord, that we may be able to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. It was said of Uzziah, as it was said of most of the kings that reigned in Judah, sadly not in Israel, Ephraim, or Samaria. As I said to you, there are similar names for the same 10 nation or 10 tribes nation. But he said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord in verse 4. That is, that which was pleasing to the Lord, that which was right before the Lord's eyes as he looked down upon the life of Uzziah. And what a blessing to any nation when those in authority do what's right in the sight of the Lord. And our prayer times have been centered on righteousness and the nation and the church, praying through with God each morning, meeting, gathering around the Word, and then into our little rooms on Zoom, if you know what Zoom is and you know how it works. And then we're gathered in with different people each day, and then we begin the golden chain of prayer, one after the other, just seeking the Lord. You wouldn't see the time going. Many of us have prayed through the prayer times, and we've been cut off, and we're still praying as everybody else goes into another room, if you know what Zoom is. And you know how it works. But I will say this. We've been praying. And there's been reflection upon different people and places. And today we had Dr. Stephen Pollock from our Malvern congregation. I think it was 5:15 in the morning whenever he was sitting in his basement. And he says, I'll not be able to get in good preaching mode. I'll not be able to shout and preach it out because I'll wake the whole family. And he says, if you do see a 7-year-old open the door and coming into the basement to see what's going on, that'll be my son or daughter, whatever it was, coming in to the room. But he did mention the state of things in America and exactly what's going on. And he brought a tremendous word from God. I'll share with you some of the sentiments of those messages through this week, God willing, next Tuesday night. But what a blessing it is to a nation when those in authority do what's right. And the Bible tells me that during the time of Uzziah, Judah experienced some of the greatest seasons of blessing. Now, we can parallel the reign of a wicked despot, Jeroboam II. Now, not Jeroboam I, who took charge of the northern kingdom after the rebellion against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and he was given the right to the throne by his father, and then he was given counsel by the younger men, and the younger man says, no, you should treat the people harshly and teach them a lesson and they'll obey you. And the older people says, no, you need to relax the yoke that Solomon put on these people. It's a grievous yoke, and if you relax it, then these people will be loyal to you. And Rehoboam listened to the younger men. As a result of that, you know, and I know, that he was challenged by Jeroboam I, Jeroboam the son of Nebat. He was a wicked despot. Now Jeroboam II, he did evil in the sight of the Lord in the northern kingdom. He reigned alongside Uzziah. And what happened was both of those kingdoms prospered. And the only difference was this, that Uzziah enjoyed unparalleled prosperity economically, materially, yes, and so did Jeroboam. And the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom had some of the greatest times business-wise and economically and materially. The nations were never more prosperous. But the distinction and the difference between Jeroboam II and Uzziah, the godly king Uzziah, was that he had spiritual prosperity. Alongside economical and material prosperity, Uzziah had spiritual prosperity. And he turned the nation back to God, whereas Jeroboam II turned the nation away from God. That's why the nation of Israel went into captivity, the northern kingdom, 100 years before the southern, because of their wickedness. It was the godly reigns of these kings that spurred Judah for 100 years, with God's blessing upon them for 100 years. That influence of the godly and those that did right in the sight of the Lord, they were spurred the judgment of Babylonish captivity for 100 years. But Israel wasn't, because Uzziah found the secret of true prosperity in a nation and among the people. The major difference, and I believe the only difference, between these two men and their prosperity was that Uzziah experienced spiritual blessings alongside material prosperity. He was a good king, and God blessed him, and he prospered the land because of him. The Lord certainly blessed the early part of Uzziah's reign. He had tremendous victory over his enemies. He had experienced, I believed, unequaled expansion of his kingdom. It does say that he built Eloth, and I'm not sure, because I'm not cued into the Hebrew, but I would know how to find it out. But in verse 2, it says he built Eloth. I'm not sure whether that means that his father built Eloth or it was Uzziah that built Eloth. I'm not sure. You would need to talk. If I had half an hour, I could talk to Dr. Douglas and he would tell me. He just lift his Hebrew Bible, beginning at the back, of course, and working to the front. He will tell me exactly who it was, because the Hebrew will tell you, not the English. You will know exactly from verse 1 what form he is in and who it refers to. But in our English version, we can't do that. Is it Uzziah that built Eloth, or is it Amaziah that built Eloth? If you want my opinion, and that's all it is, you can throw it in the trash can the way out. I think it was Uzziah, because he prospered and he built and he fortified, and God gave him prosperity. And I believe he expanded the kingdom in a way that no other king expanded, except Solomon, except in the days of Solomon. But what was the secret of his prosperity? Well, when you look at this passage, you'll find out. The Bible tells me, and I want to think about this, the secret of his prosperity. Prayer was the secret of spiritual prosperity. You notice, first of all, the explanation of his prosperity given there in verse 5. Here's the reason. Here's the explanation of why he prospered spiritually. Look at verse 5. And he sought God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper, in the verse 5. The secret of his success was the spirit of prevailing prayer, seeking God continually. Some might even say, when they study a passage like this, that the secret of his prosperity was that he was industrious. And that is true. There's no doubt about that. If you look at verse 10, for instance, of chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles, look at verse 10. It tells us there, also, he built towers in the desert. He was industrious. He digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. He loved husbandry. The word Carmel is an interesting word. It means fruitful fields. And there's no doubt this man in the desert dug wells. He found water I don't know how they found water in those days. Maybe they did divine with the magnetic field. It's not something that's to do with wizards or demons or not or anything like that. Divining, as we would know the name today, is just to do with the magnetic field in a person, and some have a stronger one than another. And whenever they put the two sticks or pieces of wire together, they can cause it to come in literally across, and they can pinpoint the very spring and the fountainhead of water. And there are many people who can do that, and they're not of the devil. If you remember, it was Dr. Paisley who said that he found water for the Baptists. He prides himself that he went out in the field and he found water by divining for the Baptists. And he always said that they always liked the water for baptism, and a Free Presbyterian found them water. And he always had that as a claim to fame. But you know, he was wise-hearted. There's no doubt about that. If you look at verse 15 of 2 Chronicles chapter 26, some people say here's why he was prosperous. Look what it says. And he made in Jerusalem engines, contraptions, invented by cunning men, to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows. If you were there, you would see maybe 10 or maybe 25 arrows being shot out of this contraption, this machine. And they were skilled in creating engines whereby they could fire arrows at the enemy and defend their city walls. And of course, he did reach out, and he built other places, and he went out into the desert and put fortifications there around other, and he expanded. But it tells us there that he was not only industrious, but he was wise-hearted. Look what it says, and great stones, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Of course, you have a play on both his names there. Azariah, helped of the Lord. Uzziah, strengthened by God. So you have a play in the Hebrew on both his names. And that's why we would say to you, that's why there is that. It's not a contradiction, as you and I know, but difference between the two names. And you have a play here by the Spirit of God on both the names. Helped of the Lord until he was strong. And no doubt, Azariah, Uzziah, helped and then strengthened for the work. So he was industrious, he was wise-hearted, and most people would say that's the reason why he was prosperous, because he was a hard worker, and he was a wise man, and he spent, obviously, his time with others, and he had vast army that was equipped with the best of training and weapons. We'll not read it all, but verses 11 through 13. And then he was a good man and upright before the Lord, verse 4. And most people will tell us, you know, that's the reason why he prospered. People would even preach a sermon and say he prospered because he was industrious, because he was wise-hearted, because he equipped the men with the best weaponry to fight in the war, and that he was a good man before the Lord, and he was upright, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and therefore, you're really saying he earned his prosperity. And that wouldn't be true. And the Bible tells me the secret of his prosperity was this. As long as he sought the Lord, as long as he depended on God, God made him to prosper. And that's the secret of a prosperous 2022. As long as we as a church depend on God, then he'll cause us to prosper. But if we say, well, it's us. Look at the team of workers we have in the children's work. That's why so many children are coming in. Look at the many workers we have on a Friday night. And the young people, that's why they're coming in. Because we have got this team of workers, and they're dedicated, and their character's good, and they endear themselves to children and young people, and they have a magnetism in their personality that seems to draw people to the house. And we're not saying that God doesn't use those things, but that isn't the secret for prosperity in the Lord's work spiritually. I can tell you all these things without the help of God are of little use. They're of little use. And I believe that he was wonderfully and marvelously helped. If you notice in verse 7, that's exactly what it tells us. It tells us there in the 7th verse, and God helped him. It doesn't say God says he was industrious. It says God helped him. And then look at verse 15 and that latter part. He was marvelously helped till he was strong. And so long as he sought the Lord, God helped him. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him strong. And as long as he sought the Lord prospered the work of his hand. And I say that the connecting thought here is that as long as we depend on God by prayer, then he will prosper the work in this house. So we not only see the explanation of his prosperity, but I want you to think of the extension of his prosperity. He certainly had for years God's blessing. And you notice what it says in verse 5, as long as. Uzziah could extend this prosperity to the very day he died. And we know it didn't happen. But as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And there is, I believe, a condition that he met, as long as God prospered him. And seeking the Lord and calling on God and depending on the Lord and putting everything into the hand of God and seeking the Lord for his will and being directed by his word, the Bible says, as long as he sought the Lord, that's a tremendous word, earnestly endeavoring to know God and to find out his mind and will and to follow it with all of your heart, and it cannot be found any other way but through prayer. Such a condition laid down in Scripture for Uzziah is the same for you and for me. As long as we prevail in prayer to the Lord, as long as we seek his face, we will be marvelously helped. We will be strong. We will be prospered. The Lord will defeat our enemies just as he did with Uzziah's. And he will extend our borders just as this man was able to build and to build those towers in the desert. And if Eloth was the work of his hand, which I believe it was then, and not the work of his father. And remember, he was co-regent, so it literally could have been him and his father that built Eloth. But it does say he, and we do believe it refers to Uzziah whenever he came to the throne. So it is with the church today. As long as we acquire that spirit of prevailing prayer, as long as we seek the Lord continually, and pray without ceasing and continue in prayer and conquer and possess new ground through prayer and pray in our praying, I do believe that God will prosper us. I'm convinced of that through this text of Scripture. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. You know, it hasn't been the fact that a new minister has come to Cumber. Neither has it been the fact that there is a willingness among the people here to work that has caused this work to prosper, whether from its inception or in recent years. I believe it will be the results not of our gifts or talents. God uses them and blesses them, there's no doubt. But we will not see blessing in this house, and you know that and I know it, so it's a timely reminder, unless we seek the face of the Lord and give ourselves to prayer. And prayer is, I believe, the link to blessing and prosperity in the work of the Lord. We have that illustrated in Scripture. Whenever Moses' hands were held up, Joshua prevailed. When his hands fell down, Amalek prevailed. As long as he sought the Lord, held up his hands, God made him to prosper. But once those hands came down, Amalek prospered. And I believe in my heart, if we were able to do this, and it may not be possible, if we were able to trace the history of evangelical churches, churches that stood firm, strong, maybe even better than we've ever done, and they were all out for Christ, I would be convinced, reading my Bible, knowing what this text and other verses say, I would be convinced you will trace any backsliding or any declension in a church morally and spiritually and even numerically to neglect of the place of prayer. It starts at home. It doesn't start on a Tuesday night. It starts at home. And when we fail to seek the Lord, then we're not going to prosper. And if we're not prospering spiritually, then we'll not be out at the meetings. And then numerically, it'll go down. And then discouragement sets in to those that are faithful until you're left with a notice board that doesn't need to be all that big. Just has to tell you that we've one service on the Sunday. And maybe they wouldn't even give the minister's name because he's busy fishing and playing golf. I'm not opposed to that because I do it myself, but not every day of the week. But I will say this, that we need to see the prayer meetings this year. And I intend, God willing, as the Lord gives me help, right throughout this year to take up certain themes and certain topics, and maybe every so often to preach on them. One certainly will be the necessity of the prayer meeting. There'll be many other subjects that I've been thinking and praying over, and I have a list that I would ask the Lord just to direct me on. Issues concerning our young people, concerning you as a church family and the work of God here and so on. And I'd like to look at those things in a teaching aspect and get our Bibles out on a Sunday morning and sit before the Lord and hear God's word and know what he teaches and what his word says on these matters. But one of those matters is the prayer meeting and the importance of the prayer meetings of the church. You may not be able to get to them all. You may not be able to get on a Tuesday night, but I've often said there are 3 or 4 prayer meetings in the house every week. There are 2 on a Sunday, 1 on a Friday night, and 1 on a Sunday morning. 1 on a Tuesday night. So you could get to one, at least one in the week. And I believe if we did that, that you would see those prayer times blessed of God. So as long as we seek the Lord, you have the explanation, the extension of his prosperity. I want you to think finally of the expiration of his prosperity, the end of it. Notice in verse 16, the Bible says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction." Verse 16, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense." And it was his namesake, Azariah, the priest that went after him, the one that bore his birth name, Azariah the priest. We know that there was a case that there was a prophet, Zechariah, who was alongside Uzziah. That's not the same Zechariah that you read in the book of Zechariah. There's over 200 years difference. 200 years difference between Uzziah and Zechariah, the prophet that you find in the book of Zechariah. This is an individual, an obscure individual, but he was a prophet. And he had a tremendous influence on the young man, Uzziah. And I'm convinced that whenever Zechariah died, that influence was lost. And as a result of that, Uzziah usurped too much authority that he even took over the priesthood, and he wasn't even a Levite. And as a result of that, God smote Uzziah with leprosy. And for 10 years of his life, at least, his son Jotham had to take over the kingdom. And he was a leper in his own private house. He wasn't allowed out. He wasn't permitted to go anywhere because of his pride. And here's a man who God prospered because he sought the Lord. And then he decided to take matters into his own hand. And he just got above his station in life, and his pride brought him down. And as a result of that, instead of looking continually to the Lord and depending on the Lord, he looked to himself, thought his own skill and wisdom and prosperity. Look at me. Look how blessed I am. Look what the Lord's done here. It's all because of me. I'm the man. I'm the king. I'm Uzziah. My name, my birth name, Azariah, helped of the Lord. You can see it. Marvelously helped. God has prospered me. It's all about me. And the Lord had no place in that. His such thoughts and actions dishonored the Lord, and they met with instant displeasure. Verses 19 through 21, we haven't time to read them. But we must learn the lesson as I finish. We must learn it quickly and wisely, lest we fall after the same temptation. We need the Lord every step of the way. And if God begins to bless and bring people in and save more and more and more people, and increase the work and bless it in every way, financially, spiritually, every way. We need to be as though we were there at the very first meeting held in a house or a barn or an orange hall or in a little hut and earnestly seek after God and depend on Him every step of the way. We have nothing but what the Lord graciously gives to us. We must acknowledge the Lord in everything and look to Him to direct our paths at all times. And we don't want to emulate these bad points of Uzziah, but we want to follow him in the early part of his reign. And as long as we seek the Lord and depend on him for everything and acknowledge and look to him and call and cry out to him in our prayer meetings, God will prosper us. May we have that prosperity in 2022. May the Spirit of God give us the spirit of prevailing prayer to see it through. May the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. We're coming to our season of prayer just now then. Are there any prayer requests you want to leave with us or anything immediate? You could remember, please, the Reverend Malcolm Patterson in your prayers. He had lost his mother not so long ago, and his father now has passed away. Malcolm and Alison are missionaries in Kenya, and they're in Kenya at present, and our brother's not able to get home to Northern Ireland for the funeral service because he has COVID, and he can't leave the country, and I don't know if he will.